In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In 1953, the year of my birth, Duke Ellington wrote a haunting melody full of longing entitled Melancholia. It was made famous more recently by Nora Jones, who wrote her own words for this standard entitled Don't Miss You at All, a romantic ballad full of melancholy that is really about missing somebody very, very much. Martin Franzmann, the great Lutheran hymn writer, wrote about the dangers of melancholy. He said, "A favorite strategy of Satan is weariness and self-pity. You are tired. Satan can make you feel awfully noble about your weariness, your tiredness. As you get older, not too much older, you begin to see how satanic the temptation of melancholy and resignation really is. How like being trapped in a cave with cobwebs of inertia across your eyes and across your mouth." For many of us, life is one long melancholy Lent. Weariness defines our days, self-pity our attitude. Our whole life seems to be consumed by a loss of hope. We sometimes find ourselves resigned to wander around in a murky twilight of sentimental haze, telling ourselves that this is how life affects sensitive people like us. And yet for many, this melancholy comes from outside of them, from forces beyond their control, even through their own body chemistries, through synapses misfiring in the brain because things are not quite right in their bodies. Scholars tell us that Isaiah is the political prophet, and Micah the prophet for the poor and the lonely. As one of them said, "Pinched peasant faces peer between his words and fill the ellipses." Or in other words, Micah is for us. Poor, melancholy souls, weary on our long, steep, rocky pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Prophets appear on the scene not because things are so good, but because they are so bad. And Micah is no exception. His prophecies of doom outweigh the ones of hope and restoration. Woe seems to drown out all the weal. And yet, in the midst of the prophecies of judgment, there is hope for the restoration of the remnant. You remember the great Christmas prophecy from Micah. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." Little Bethlehem, with her poor peasants huddled in their homes, afraid of the judgment of earthly rulers and the judgment of God. For them, melancholy would be a great luxury. Their darkness was deep. And so Micah, he takes Amos's justice and Hosea's love and Isaiah's holiness, and he calls it mercy, closing his book with a liturgy of mercy and forgiveness. "But as for me," he says, "I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." And God does. He hears his people's cries for mercy through a cross that casts its shadow across the last words of Micah's prophecy. "Our God pardons iniquity," says Micah. He passes over our transgressions. His anger was spent out on his Son in a bloody bath on Calvary's cross, where our weary Savior, born of Mary in humble Bethlehem, was determined to end all darkness, all melancholy through one great cosmic act of mercy, treading our iniquities under his foot as Genesis promised, and then casting all our sins into the depths of the sea. Micah ends where Luke's gospel begins, for Zechariah's Benedictus echoes the promise of Micah, the promise of faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as thou hast sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Luther was said to have moments of great melancholy, and yet he knew that in Christ there was always joy inside his melancholy, joy from bearing one another's burdens, joy in community, joy in diakonia. Luther said, we are all beggars. And what he meant was that we are simply peasants yearning for Christ's mercy. Whoever is in despair, said Luther, distressed by a sin-stricken conscience, or terrified by death, or carrying some other burden upon his heart, if he would be rid of them all, let him go joyfully to the Lord's Supper and lay down his woe in the midst of the community of saints and seek help from the entire company of the spiritual body. Be certain, he said, that Christ and all his saints are coming to you with all their virtues, sufferings, and mercies to live, work, suffer, and die with you, and that they desire to be wholly yours, having all things common with you. You must take to heart the infirmities and needs of others, he said, as if they were your own. Then offer to others your strength as if it were your own, just as Christ does for you in the sacrament. This is what it means to be changed into one another through love, out of many particles to become one bread and one drink, to lose one's own form and take on that which is common to all. This Lent, may Christ's mercy visit you in the midst of all your melancholy days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.